All right, 1 Samuel chapter 15. Let's begin to read in verse 13. And Samuel came to Saul, and Saul said unto him, Blessed be thou the Lord. I have performed the commandment of the Lord. And Samuel said, What meaneth then this the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? And Saul said, They have brought them from the Amalekites for the people. So I've got that underlined in my Bible. For the people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. And then Samuel said unto Saul, Say, and I will tell thee what the Lord hath said to me this night. And he said unto him, Say on. And Samuel said, When thou wast little in thine own sight, wast thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel? And the Lord anointed thee king over Israel. And the Lord sent thee on a journey and said, Go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they be consumed. Wherefore didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? And Saul said unto Samuel, Yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord, and have gone the way which the Lord sent me, and have brought Achak, the king of Amalek, and have utterly destroyed the Amalekites. But the people took of the spoil, sheep and oxen, the chief of the things which should have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. And Samuel said, Hath the Lord his great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices, as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, obey is better than sacrifice, and the hearken than the fat of rams. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. Because thou hast rejected the word of the Lord, he hath also rejected thee from being king. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord in thy words, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. You be seated this morning. Heavenly Father, I pray you'd come down and help us while we might preach. We certainly need a touch from you. And Lord, I pray today that we do nothing in ourselves, but Lord, that you'd guide our mind and our thoughts and our heart today. And Lord, that your people would get something from the Word of God. Something that could help them and strengthen them and guide their home and guide their life today and guide this church. And Lord, I pray for the one that might be lost sitting here today. I pray that they would hear the gospel in this message and get saved today before it's too late. Lord, again, I ask for a touch from heaven. And Lord, I pray that you would just help us, for we can do nothing in our own and on our own. And God, I know that today. Would you please come by and help us? And Lord, we thank you for everything that you've done. And I pray that everything that we've done has honored you and brought glory to your name today. Help that soul that's here that just might need some strength and comfort. Save that sinner to his hell for these things in Jesus' name. What do I ask and do? Pray. Amen and amen. Most of y'all know this scripture right here. God had told King Saul and that through Samuel and that to go to the Amalekites. If you go back and look in verse 3, you'll find that he said, Go now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy it, all they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep and camel and ass. And Saul gathered the people together and numbered them and tell them 200,000 foot men and 10,000 men of Judah. And so they go and that to fight the battle. Go and that to destroy everything that Amalek has that they have. And you'll find that as they come home, come back, you'll find that King Saul brings the king of Amalek with him, and the people have brought the best and that of the animals and that for sacrifice. So as they come back, and Samuel asks King Saul, he says in right here, What meaneth the bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? He should not have heard those things as he was coming back. Those animals were to be destroyed down in the land of Amalek. And we're going to learn something here real quick that Saul was responsible for what the people done. God gave him the commandment, and they have to go down there and destroy everything that Amalek had. Can I tell you something today? That is, you're responsible. You and Mama's responsible for the things that go on in your home, and the things that you allow to go on in your home, and what goes on with your children. We'll do that here in a minute. You're responsible for that, just like I'm responsible for the things that take place in my home and take place in this church that I might let go on, it should not go let, that I should not let go on. It's my responsibility. So the king here, as he blames the people, and finally Samuel gets him to see what he needed him to see down here, and Saul and that admits that he had sinned and listened to the people, but it cost him something in the end. It cost him the kingdom by this time. It cost him all that. Well, I want you to look in verse 17 at something that Samuel told King Saul. And this is what I want to preach on today, or draw a thought out of. In verse 17, Samuel said, "When thou wast little in thine own sight." And we know that Saul thought that he was little, just like Gideon did when he went to fight. He said, "Who am I?" And Saul, even though he was tall of stature, he was least of the families and that of Benjamin. And in his own sight, he saw himself little. I want to preach, having a thought today for just a minute or two on some things that are little in our sight, but are probably pretty big. You know, the Bible talks about little things like 242 times in your King James Bible. Now, little means small in size or extent, not great or large, small in quantity, small in amount, or small in force. I believe we're getting the idea about little, don't we? It's small, ain't it? It means not much. And that's what little means. Boys, are we hot up here? I'm getting some ringing back at me somewhere. And so the Bible talks about things being little a lot of times. If you look in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 30, you'll find out that the Bible talks about little faith. I believe a lot of times I have little faith, and I find myself at times with no faith. Ain't that what the Lord told him at one time? He says, "You have no faith." And you know, the two times that you'll find in the Bible where he talked about great faith, he was talking about Gentiles. Ain't that amazing over there? That Syrophoenician woman and that Roman centurion, he said they had great faith and they were Gentiles. 2 Kings chapter 4, that Shunammite woman was going to build Elisha, what? A little chamber. But it was enough to do what Elisha needed it to do. Mark chapter 4 talks about how there were some little ships and that followed the Lord's ship as he crossed over and went his way. Can I tell you that there are some little ships that should follow the Lord's ship after we get saved? You know, like stewardship and fellowship and church membership. Amen. And we have a citizenship that's in heaven. Isaiah 28 talks about the Word of God, how it's a precept upon precept, line upon line. Here a little and there a little. Proverbs chapter 16 talks about how that better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. Proverbs 30 talks about some little things, but yet they're exceeding wise when he talks about the ant and the coney and the locust and the spider over there. He said they're little, but yet they have some wisdom. Now I want to look at three things today that are little in our sight, but they ought to probably be big, pretty big. Number one this morning, I want to look at our little ones. Do you know in the Bible that statement, little ones, is mentioned 40 times? We look at these young ones running around here a lot of times and we don't think a whole lot about them if we ain't careful. You know, I've learned something that little ones grow up to be big ones, don't they? You know, I've been here 17 and a half years and watched a lot of these grow up over the years. I married one of them last, obviously, a year ago. And I married one just the other day that's grown up here. And so you find that they do grow up. But the one thing that you need to understand, more than the one thing that we need to understand, that I told you this, and let me say this, I found this to be interesting. 40 times we find that mentioned in the Bible, little ones. Do you know what 40 means in the Bible? It's a time of testing or trial. Them little ones are going to try you, ain't they? Amen. Hey, that's a joke right there, man. You can laugh. It'll be all right. Man, it's a tough crowd. Amen. Listen, but them little ones, you know why we teach them about the Lord? So that they'll get saved.
Yes.
Take your Bible and go to the book of 1 Samuel chapter 3. Look in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Just go back a few chapters with me, if you would, in 1 Samuel chapter 3. And the Bible says in verse 2, it came to pass at the time when Eli was laid down in his place and his eyes began to wax dim that he could not see. And there the lamp of God went out of the temple of the Lord where the ark of God was. And Samuel was laid down to sleep. Now Samuel is a young man. He's serving and that in the tabernacle. That the Lord called Samuel. And he answered, "Here am I." And he ran unto Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou callest me." And he said, "I called not, lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again Samuel. And Samuel rose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And he answered, "I called not, my son, lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time, and he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou didst call me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lie down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. One of the first things that you need to teach your children is what Jesus done for them. But you need to teach them that there's coming a day that they're going to hear a voice that they may not understand where it's coming from. And it's on the inside of their heart. And listen, and what they need to do is just answer like Samuel did and say, "Here am I, Lord. What do you want?" And the very first thing that he's going to want to do is save them. But you need to teach them how to answer the Lord, not to put it off, that when He calls and knocks on their heart, just like in Revelation chapter 3, and He comes by, that He will save them. Can I tell you that the salvation of your children are important today? I mean, it's important to get them into heaven. Friend, it's important to get them saved early in life. There is a great chance that if you can get them saved early in life, it'll keep them out of some things, out of this world, and it'll let them serve God at an early age.
Amen.
I'm getting ahead of myself, but I want you to see about Samuel right here. Do you realize at an early age that God was fixing to reveal Himself, and that to Samuel make a preacher boy and make a prophet out of him that Israel hadn't had? If you look back in verse 1, the Bible said the child Samuel ministered unto the Lord before Eli, and the word of the Lord was precious in those days, and there was no open vision. Verse 19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and didn't let none of his words fall to the ground, and all Israel from Dan even to Beersheba knew that Samuel was established to be a prophet of the Lord. Hey, God took a young man whose mama was concerned about him serving God and done something with him, took him to the preacher and said, "You use him. You use him in God's work." God spoke to him. God turned him into a preacher and turned him into a prophet. Why? Because when he was little, they done something with him. Them little ones you're raising are important. So, preacher, we know that. We know they're important. No, they're important to the Lord. You see, He's got a plan for your children. Just like He had a plan for Samuel. Can I encourage you, mom and daddies, today to do what Eli done and just direct them in the way of the Lord? But don't stand in the way of God. Too many mom and dads, God's wanted to do something with their children, and they've stood in the way of God. They've stood in the way of God, of families. Listen, Paul told Timothy, and he said that from a child thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Why do you think it's so important to give your children that book? I remember hearing a feller tell the story. He run a girl's home up in Chicago. And you know, after them girls turned 18, they could leave. They didn't have to stay at the home. Nobody could make them. And listen, they'd come by some of them girls that had left and went out on the streets and was living that type of life and that wicked life. And they told him, said every time that was going to turn a trick, said, listen, all that scripture that you drove in our head, come back to us. He put it in their hearts, you see. See, the Word of God, a lot of things that I know, and I know not all of them have the heritage that I have, but I do have the heritage that I have. And all them Sunday school teachers, down through the years, from the time that I was old enough to remember, all them things that they put in to us, I still remember some of them. Boy, they just flashes of it come back now. They flashes, I remember Miss Shirley Patterson. She's either my Sunday school teacher or my training teacher. And I can't remember, but I remember her teaching us on that flannel board. Boy, she'd take them pen. I just remember when I was little. I mean, not much bigger than Titus down there. I can remember those things. I remember things I taught when I was a teenager in the house of God. Listen, it's important to the Lord that you get your children saved. You say, me get them saved. They're sitting under your tutelage. Amen. They're under mine for an hour and a half on Sunday morning, an hour on Sunday night, an hour on Wednesday night. You got them all the time, friend. I can only do so much, but you got them all the time. Get them saved, man. Tell them about the Lord. Set them up for them. Tell them how much Jesus loves them and died for them. A friend of mine sent me a video of his little girl the other day. She just turned two. And he had her sitting at the piano. And she wasn't playing the piano. She was just beating on it. But she was keeping in time. Her mama was videoing her. And she was sitting there singing, Jesus loves the little children of the world. Just as plain as I could sing it. Turn two. Listen, when she was a year old, her mother taught her how to sing Amazing Grace. Boy, putting that stuff in them when they're little and when they're young makes all the difference in the world. Your little ones ought to be important. Your children, your grandchildren ought to be important today. Listen, get them saved. Teach them about the Lord and what God can do for them. Hey, listen, protect them at every cost. Protect your children. At every cost. Don't imprison. You know, I made the statement here maybe about 3 or 4 months ago. There is a fine line between imprisoning your children and sheltering your children. And I'll be the first one to tell you, I don't know where that line's at. I really don't, but it's out there. And listen, Nehemiah put it like this. Talking about protecting your children. And he said, I looked and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the ruler and to the rest of the people, Be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, for your sons and your daughters, your wives, and your husbands. I believe your children's worth a good fight today. Amen. I mean, I believe spiritually, your little ones are worth a good fight. Man, don't matter. Hey, listen, I believe it's worth a fight when they get on up in age and they want to dress wrong and they're going to go to wrong places and have wrong things. I believe it's worth a fight in your home to keep them safe.
Amen.
Amen. I believe it's worth a fight. You say, and they not understand. They don't have to understand right now. They'll understand later, but you keep them safe, friend. Why? Why, preacher? Why? Because if you don't, they're going to get out. That's going to happen. You say, is it bound to happen? If you don't take the bull by the horns, it could. I know God. Hey, I know. I listened to a preacher here a while back. It's maybe been about 2 years ago. We was in meeting about to get over that comment. And he said, look, he said, I was fooling around with the wrong girl. And he said, my daddy was telling me not to fool around with her. And he said, I got on my motorcycle, went out there in the building, and got on my motorcycle, and I turned and left, and went to see her. And he said, halfway there, God smote my heart. He said, you don't need to be fooling with her. He said, I turn around and I come home. He said, I opened the door of that building where I parked my motorcycle. And he said, there stood my preacher, laid my preacher daddy down on the ground where I parked my motorcycle. And there he was praying. And that for me. Hey, listen, sometimes Sometimes you can talk until you're blue in the face. And when they get to a certain age, you ain't going to be able to stop them. But you can intercede for them, friend. You can beg God and that to do something. I'm going to tell you, God can do a lot of times what we can't do. He can do a lot of times what you can't do. Listen, if you look in Exodus chapter 10, you'll find that when Pharaoh was going to let Israel go one time, he said, I'll let the men go. But I keep the women and the children here. That was so that they would come out. Hey, can I tell you, men, listen to me. The world may not get to you, and it's chasing you too, by the way, but it's after your wife and after your children too. You better get a hold of that this morning. You need to protect them. Can I park and say right here for just a second? I think somebody needs to understand this and know what I'm about to say. There are going to be people that you come around and are in contact with that are not going to understand how you raise your home and why you do what you do in your home. I am 44 years old. My wife is close to that age. We won't tell how old she is. But we even have rules, and I know y'all know what I'm about to say. And it's just me and her in the home. But we have rules about what we watch on TV. You know, you ought to have rules about what you do. Amen. And you ought to have rules about what your children can do. Why? It's your job to protect them. Why, you wouldn't let them go get in shark-infested water. You wouldn't let them go out there and hang around the edge of a cliff. Then why would you let them watch stuff wrong on TV or go to movies that they shouldn't watch or run with people that they shouldn't be running with? I don't understand that. Hey, it's your job to raise them. Not the TV, not education, not anybody else. Your job.
Amen.
Proverbs 29 said, the rod of reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself brings his mother to shame. I can show you that right now. I can take you to a family that has been preached to and preached to and preached to. And I can show you where they did not correct that child like they should have created. You say you're judging. Yes, I'm judging, because the Bible said right here that a child left to himself will bring his mother to shame. And that's what he's doing. I can show you that. You know, the Word of God's always right.
Amen.
Word of God's always right. Can I tell you, your little ones can serve the Lord. I like it when they get up here and sing. I like it when they get up here and want to quote Bible verses. Huh? I appreciate Sunday school teachers wanting them to learn the Bible. Amen. I appreciate that. I mean, I appreciate you ladies and men for trying to put the Scripture in these kids around here. My sister, she used to say, Graham, that was my grandmother, she said she was our Sunday school teacher when we was little. And she said she made us girls learn John 3:16 and made the boys learn over there in the book of John that Jesus wept. She says, now I don't know why we had to learn John 3:16 when the boys just had to learn Jesus wept. But my grandmother told her because they were smart. You can take that up for whatever you want to right there. That was my grandmother, not me, by the way. But listen, your children can serve God. Samuel was young and serving the Lord, wasn't he? Wasn't it that little maid down in 2 Kings chapter 5 that had been carried off into captivity? And she said, would that my Lord, I was with the man of God in Samaria and he could heal him of his leprosy. You know, you want to see some things about that little maid? That's not talking about little and well. She probably was little in stature, but she was a young girl that was carried out down there. Hey, look at the comfort and the compassion that she had for Naaman.
Yes.
That can only come from the Lord when you're carried off into captivity. She knew something about the man of God.
Yes, sir.
Reckon who taught her about the man of God? Reckon who taught her and said, hey, this man over here could heal him. Hey, you know, Jesus says that Naaman, there was many lepers in the land at that time, but Naaman was the only one healed. Why was that? There was a little maid that got her master and that to the man of God. Well, I believe that'll preach. There was a maid, a man, and a master. Or a maid, a master, and a man.
Boy, I alliterated that while I was preaching.
Amen. That's pretty good.
Boys, y'all appreciate that one day.
But your little ones can serve God. You know what's that important to keep them in church? Because we're going to need them. These little ones right now that they're just learning, there's going to come a time when this church is going to need them. We need them now.
Yes.
There's going to come a time when we're really going to need them. Jacob, how old was your son when you come here? 9 years old?
I think it was about 10.
10, all right. So he was 10 when he came. Little bitty thin fella, still thin. It's about this tall. I like to push on his head sometimes. Bethany was here when I got here. She had just turned 4 when I came. And listen, growed up here, was raised here, had the Word of God put in them here, and now they're serving the Lord here. This church needs them. Friend, if I get to last and say, hey, listen, I hope to see them grow up and begin to serve God here and take part here and do something for the Lord. You say, do I have to serve God in church and that? But no, you can come sing in the choir. You don't have to teach Sunday school. Just be faithful and act to the Lord. But Paul said this. He said, in the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. And that's what we're trying to do here. Is raise your little ones up to teach them so that they can teach others also. That's the whole idea. Little ones. They may be little in our sight, but boy, they're awful big. Then there's a little work. Little work. It may be little in our sight. You may think that Vacation Bible School is such a little work, but God can do something with that. Take your Bible and go to the book of John chapter 6. They said, oh, while you're going there, there's an old song that I like to hum and sing from time to time, that a little is much when God is in it. And as we find in John chapter 6, Jesus is fixing to feed the 5,000 men plus the women and the children. And in John chapter 6 in verse 5, when Jesus then lifted up his eyes and saw a great company come unto him, he saith unto Philip, whence shall we buy bread that these may eat? And this he said to prove him, for he himself knew what he would do. You know, sometimes the Lord just does things to prove us, don't he? Put you in a trial. Try you out. See what you're going to do. Lord, I already know what he was going to do. He was just trying who out? Well, Philip. He wanted to see what Philip was going to say. And Philip answered him, 200 penny worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may take a little. Philip said, all we've got is just 200 pennies. And he said, that's not a lot. We can't buy enough bread to feed 5,000 men sitting out here, plus the women and the children. And then one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, saith unto him, there is a lad here which had 5 barley. Let me park right here and say, look who showed up on the scene. Why, a little one did. You know, I preached that message not too long ago. I believe it was on Mother's Day, and it was a couple of years ago, on what are you putting in your children's lunchbox? Somehow this boy got 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Somebody helped him with that, didn't he? There is a lad here which had 5 barley loaves and 2 fishes. But what are they among so many? And Jesus said, make the men sit down. And now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down and number about 5,000. And Jesus took, you know, if I believe you read that right there, you'll find out that they were in a desert place. If you go back and read one of the other Gospels, you'll find there's a desert place. My question is always, how did they get grass out in the desert place? Lord can always put grass in a desert place to give you somewhere to sit down at. And Jesus said, make them sit down. And Jesus, in verse 11, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were sat down, and likewise of the fishes, as much as they would. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain, that nothing be lost. And therefore they gathered them together and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of the 5 barley loaves, which remained over and above unto them that had eaten. When Andrew came to the Lord, he made this statement, but what are they among so many? Lord, we've got so much work that needs to be done and so many to feed and so many that are here that need some food to eat. But Lord, what is the 200 penny worth of bread that we could buy and these two fishes and five loaves, or what is it? Yeah, five barley loaves and two small fish. Notice what the Bible said. Small fishes. They weren't big fishes. You had a little lad with a little lunch that fed a whole bunch, didn't you? You know, when the Lord gets on the work that's little, it turns out great big. You say, all these things we know, preacher. We understand these things. Then why ain't we trying to do something little? We ain't trying. I'm afraid a lot of times we ain't trying. We look at it and we say, well, why would we? We can't get anything accomplished today. We can't get anything. Hey, let me park right here for just a second. Did you ever think that you would see states passing laws that were against abortion? Did you ever think that? I didn't. I'll be honest with you. I'd give up on that. I'd preach against it and believe that God could change it. But then in the back of our mind, we say, reckon how he's going to do that. Can he really do that? I'm going to tell you, you start passing laws against abortion at state legislature level, God had to move on some hearts, didn't he? God had to make some difference in some men and women's lives to do that. Hey, what do you think happened, friend? They somewhere, somebody got to praying. I'll guarantee you that. Somebody got to praying. And there were some things that began to take place. And something that was small turned out big. If we're not careful, we'll look at the work that God has gave us to do or called us to do. And we'll say, that is such a little thing. Whether it's in teaching. Hey, listen, teaching Sunday school is not little. Pastor, this church ain't little. But I'm afraid that a lot of times men look at that. I'll never forget. And I've told you this story too. I had one of my kinfolk. She asked me. Sometime back, it's been 5 or 6 years ago, she said, are you still down there at that little church? Now, when I took it, it wasn't. We have grown, by the way. And it's just the way that she said that that was condescending to me. And I told my wife, I said, the next time she asked me that, she said, I'm going to say, well, we had 235 in Sunday school, which that'd be a lie. But it'd make me feel better about it. And then I'd just walk off and keep on going. There's a lot of men look at our church and they say it's such a little thing. What can we do? Listen, I believe this church. I believe there's more work for us to do, but I believe that we do work also. Now we're trying to get the gospel out between tracts and radio broadcasts and preaching standing right here and nursing home ministries. There's more to do. You say that nursing home is such a little ministry over there, and there's hardly no fruit that ever came. You realize I've been over there almost 10 years, and in 10 years, now get this, in 10 years I've seen two people saved in 10 years that I know of. And both of them got saved on the same day. That's what was amazing. I mean, that's what, one of them got saved before service, and Miss Margie was over there dealing with a feller while I was preaching, and he got saved after the service, all on the same day. Hadn't seen nobody saved up for that time. Hadn't seen nobody saved up for that time. But you know what? There's some dear saints of God sitting over there that need somebody to come by and preach to them and sing with them. Amen. Not sing to them, but sing with them. Amen. And let them worship God. Hey, I'm telling you, if I get in a place like that, I hope somebody's got some care to come by and see me.
Yes, sir.
Amen. Hope I don't get there. But you know what? We don't all get our brothers. We don't all get our brothers. But what's little? We look at some little things sometimes. We look about being faithful as being little. Well, say, that's just a little thing. Being faithful to Sunday school. Being faithful to church. You know, Hebrews 10 said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as a matter of some ends, but exhorting one another. And then you know what he said? And so much to more as you see the day approaching. What day? The Lord coming. He said that the closer that His appearing and His approaching is, we need to be exhorting one another to be more faithful to assemble together. Tim Moore was recording church, and a man be found faithful. Do you realize that there's folk outside watching you, but there's folk inside here watching you? Your testimony among people inside and outside the church is very important. I would hate to think that I lost my testimony inside this church and the confidence of the people sitting in here. I couldn't do any good. Couldn't do any good. I mean, can you do good in here? Can you do good? We say, well, it's not my fault that they lost confidence. Are you sure? I mean, look at yourself for a minute. Let's talk about this. Let's talk about being faithful for just a second in some things. Being faithful in attendance to church. Being faithful in attendance to your Bible reading. Being faithful in attendance to pray. You say, well, people don't know if I read my Bible or if I pray. Yeah, but they know how you live. Because you know why? They see it. I think your testimony is worth something. You may think it's little, but I think it's great big. I think your modesty tells a lot about your testimony. I think your separation out of the world tells you. See, it's just little stuff. Take your Bible and go to the book of 2 Samuel chapter 23. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I heard Brother Ted preaching on this the other day. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I want to show you something. 2 Samuel chapter 23 and... look in verse 8. 2 Samuel chapter 23. I hope you love me here now. 2 Samuel 3 and verse 28, or 23 and verse 8. Man, dyslexia is bad. These be the names of the mighty men of David, whom David had. The Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains. The same was Adonai, the Eznite. He lifted up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. Now that was a man, wasn't it? I mean, a valiant man. I mean, men that can fight and kill 800 at one time and walk away, that's a man. He ain't got a gun in his hand. He had a spear in his hand. He knew how to fight. And after him was Eleazar, the son of Dodo, the Ohite, one of the three mighty men with David when they defied the Philistines that were gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away. And he arose and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. Now we're talking about valiant men, mighty men that knew how to fight. Look in verse 11. Here's what we need to see. And after him was Shammai, the son of Agi, of the Harite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it and slew the Philistines, and the Lord brought a great victory. Everybody left this man standing there in the lentil patch. But he decided he was going to fight the Philistines in the lentil patch. Now, ask yourself the question. Now, look what the Bible said. But he stood in the midst of the ground and defended it. Why would he defend a lentil patch? You ever ask yourself that question? Why fight for the lentils? They ain't nothing, Brother Ted said, as I was in him preaching. That wasn't nothing but a pea patch. And Lord knows I hate peas. I wouldn't have fought for them. He'd have been on his own there, man. I'd have been like the rest of them. Listen, they needed them lentils. I mean, they needed something to eat. Then Philistines, the enemy, would come in and trample down what they had to eat and what the horses had to eat. And when they'd get in battle, everybody would begin to grow weak, and the Philistines could beat them then. See, it seemed like a little thing for him to fight. See, your faithfulness to Sunday school, or your faithfulness to what's going on at the church, your faithfulness out yonder to serve God and to be separated and to be modest in dress and modest in thought and modest in the way we act, it seems like a little thing, but I believe it's worth defending.
Amen.
They all thought that the lentil patch was not worth defending, but he did. And the Bible said that the Lord wrought a great victory. You know why we're not getting great victories? Because folk ain't working the little work. Well, those are just little things, preacher. Just little. It's the little things that turn into great big things, ain't it? Nehemiah said it like this. You need to understand the work here. Nehemiah put it like this. They told him to come down off the wall. We want to meet with you. And here's what he said. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I'm doing a great work. So then I cannot come down. Why should the work cease? Whilst I leave and come down to you. You need to understand any work we do for the Lord is not little, but it's great big. As long as He'll put His hand on it, that's what we need to do today. Number three, and last of all, some little things. The Bible said in the book of Song of Solomon, chapter 2, take us the foxes, the little foxes, that spoil the vines, for our vines have tender grapes. It's not only our little ones that are little in our sight, but are great big. It's not only the work sometimes that is little in our sight, but when God touches it, it turns out great big. I think about Brother Ed Ballew. Brother Ballew started Rock of Ages Prison Ministry. If you go back and you listen to the stories that he tells about starting Rock of Ages, it started in a closet. And all that he could get done would be to, he had a little tape machine and recorder set up in there, and he would spin off duplicates of tapes and seeing that those men that were in prison would get copies of those tapes so that they could get saved and get the Word of God. It started out in a closet with one man doing the work. And look at what Rock of Ages is today. They're all over the world. We support them. I mean, they're just all over the world and at trying to get the gospel out. Got their own printing set up down there that prints tracts and books and everything that you can need in that to teach and witness of the gospel. Little things. But then there becomes little sins like these foxes that spoil the vines. For our vines have tender grapes. Now can I tell you today that the Lord does classify sin. A lot of people say, well, God don't classify it. Oh, the Bible said, yea, in Proverbs 6. What did He say? Six things that the Lord hates. Yea, seven are an abomination. Yeah, He does classify sin, by the way. But sin in our life, we justify sin. And we say, well, it's just a little sin. Kind of like saying, well, it's just a little white lie. Are we listening? It's just a little white lie. It'll be all right. Will it? Well, I'm not going to turn into no great big liar. Will you not? We justify what we want to do in our mind and in our heart because we say it's little. It's just a little thing, preacher. It's just a small thing in my home. Take you to that same home I was telling you about. And a lot of things started out small and started out little that was allowed to go on. And it's turned into great big now. It's just a little thing. It's just a little thing to let my child sit in front of that TV and play that video game all day long with that headphone strapped to his head. He's talking to God knows who all across the world.
Right.
Amen, preacher. Right? Just telling you. Well, preacher, we got some little habits, you know. I used to justify my smoking, too.
Yes.
I'll be honest, well, the one scripture I always hated. Always hated. To him that knoweth the good and doeth it not. To him it's, I hate that thing. Why? Because he'd back you up in the corner.
Yes.
See, people could tell me I didn't need to, and you shouldn't do those things, and you just push it off. And you say, well, it's not hurting me now. And I've got plenty of time to quit. And all those things. I've heard people say, well, you got to die of something. And people say that and they mock that and they make fun of the something until the something's got them. And then they start to back up and wish that they'd never done what they've done. You know, the Bible does say that the wages of sin is death. That rings true for them. The saved and the sinner both, by the way. That desire is just a little thing, preacher. I'm not committing adultery or fornication. I'm not committing murder. I'm not laying up drunk.
What about what you do watch on TV? What about what you do listen to on the radio? What you look at on your phone? What you do allow to come into your house? I'm going to say it again. You've heard me say it 1,000 times. Some things that some people, I won't say that it's you, and if it's you, shame on you, but some things that folk let come in on their TV, they would never let anybody do that in their home sitting on their couch.
Amen.
They wouldn't let them talk that way. They wouldn't let them dress that way. They wouldn't let them act that way, especially in front of their children.
Amen.
I don't know. That's just a little thing, preacher. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. Do you not reckon that David justified his sin with Bathsheba when he committed it? You know, the Lord finally got a hold of his heart and showed him that it was bigger than what he thought it was. Our sins turn out to be bigger than what we think they are, and they get us. It's just a little thing. It's just a little thing. I'm going to find out if you love me with what I'm about to say right now. It's just a little thing, preacher, that I take most of my clothes off and put on a bathing suit and take my picture and put it on Instagram or Facebook or something like that.
Amen.
And let everybody see it. Hey, I'm going to tell you right now, if you take your clothes off and put it out all across the world to see and you're comfortable with that, you'll be way comfortable to take all your clothes off in private with people
Amen.
That you want not to do that with. And that ain't even original to my saying. I stole that from somebody. There's a lot of truth to it. It's just a little thing, preacher. Just a little thing. Ezekiel chapter 8, the Lord talks about the house of Judah. And he says, then he said unto me, hast thou seen this, O son of man? Is it a light thing to the house of Judah that they commit the abomination which they commit here? For they have filled the land with violence and have returned to provoke me to anger and laid to put the branch to their nose. He said, it's just a light thing to them. It's a little thing. 1 Kings chapter 16, when it talks about King Ahab, he said, and it came to pass as if it had been a light thing for him to walk in the sins of Jeroboam the son of Nebat. Jeroboam was the one that set up idol worship in the land of Israel. He said, if it was a light thing to walk after the sins of Jeroboam of Nebat, that he took to wife Jezebel, we don't know who Jezebel is, the daughter of Ethbaal, king of the Zidonians, and went serve Baal, worshiped him. He said, it's a light thing, a little thing, for him to do those things. Paul said this in Galatians 5, a little leaven. Leaveneth the whole lump. It's not a little sin. Because when a little sin gets in there, it turns into a great big sin. Isaiah 59 said it cuts us off from the Lord. He said it's your iniquities that have cut you off from the Lord. We look at it as a little thing. A little thing. It's not a little thing. Let's bow our heads across the house this morning. If you need to come to pray, I want you to come. God spoke to your heart. What's little to you? But yet it's great big. It ought to be great big. What's little to you? That ought to be great big. You youngins? Listen to me. Listen to me. Your youngins big to you. They ought to be. Ought to be important. They ought to be also important to you. Even though they're little. You know why I love on these kids around here? I do want them to love me. But I want you to love me. I do. I'll be honest with you. But man, I want them to see God in me. I want them to say, boy, I remember when the preacher preached this. Not how I preached. Not that I was loud. Not that I cried. But here's what the preacher had to say. And here's why. How about the work that God's given you to do? Do you count it as a small thing? Faithfulness to church, hit and miss? I know some people think if they go 2 times on Sunday morning in a month that they're faithful. You ain't. You ain't. God rewards faithfulness. That may be what's going on in your home. Why you can't get it straightened out. Because you're being awful hard. Hey, I'm telling you, we look at things as little when they should be great big in us. And things that we see as great big as desires and it's driving us probably would be little. What about you sinning? What are you doing that you shouldn't be doing? What's cutting? What about the sin of omission and not the sin of commission? What are you not doing that you should be doing? You say, well, it's just a little thing, preacher. No, it's not. Hey, so I'm praying. Do you need to come and pray? Is it just a little thing? It's just a little thing for me not to get saved right now. I've got plenty of time, preacher, to get saved. Plenty of time. Plenty of time to come to know the Lord Jesus. Friend, you don't know how much time you've got. For what is your life is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. If you need to come and pray, people's got their heads bowed. I know you can pray where you're at, but if you'll come, God can help you. Anybody in the house need to come this morning.